Good to be here tonight. Well, we do thank the Lord for His provision. Wife that wants to spoil you. Yeah, I've got it good. Thank the Lord. Brother, I'm going to be reading out of Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." And I see Malachi as God confronting Israel with their faults. I think Israel was wrong with God and they weren't right with God. And so God confronts them and He uses Malachi and He confronts them. And I believe, you know, what's written is for us. And I believe God is confronting us with the same things He confronted Israel. And so I want to take a look at some of His confrontations that He has with Israel, because I think He's confronting us today. And I believe His confrontation demands something from us. And so I want to see what God confronts us about and see what He wants from us. First of all, He confronts us about love. There in chapter 1, verse 2, He says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us?" Now that verse just, you know, every time I read it, every time I think about it, just strikes me. He says, "I have loved you." And they I don't know how they got to this point, but they were saying, "Wherein have you loved us?" I mean, have they forgotten Christ's love? Have they forgotten God's love? How He chose them, how He delivered them from Israel, from Egypt. He took them out. He provided for them. He saved them so many times. He gave them what they needed. Had they forgotten that? They came to the point where they said, "Where has thou loved us?" They couldn't see it. Did they just reject His love? I don't know. But somehow they came to the point where they were saying, "Wherein hast thou loved us?" And I don't know if they were saying it through with their mouth or with their actions, but Christ, I believe it was with their actions, but God saw it and He confronts them with it. He says, "I've loved you." And I think He's confronting us today too. He's saying, "Hey, I've loved you, haven't I? Hasn't God loved you? Can you say God has loved me?" Yes, we can. God has loved you. Amen. Hey, did you forget that He chose you too? Like He chose Israel. Nothing in you, nothing of you, not because you were something special. He just chose you. You forget that God saved you. He took what He delivered you from, your condemnation, He took it all away. He saved you. He can say, "I have loved you." He wants to know, "Have I not loved you?" Because I think sometimes He looks at us and He feels like we're saying, "Wherein hast thou loved us?" I think that's sometimes our attitude. So He proves, He shows, His confrontation is like, "I'll let you see, I have loved you. And now that I have loved you, I can say, I want to be loved back." Isn't this what His demand is? That you love Him back? I mean, we get John writing and he says, we love Him because He first loved us. So it's a reasonable demand that God has. He says, "I just want you to love me because I've loved you." Isn't that reasonable? Can He expect us to love Him back? He's loved us first.
I mean, I love my wife. And I do expect and want her to love me back. Well, Christ says, hey, I've loved you. And you can see it and you know it. So He says, can I expect you to love me back? But He has a complaint, you know, with one of the churches, Ephesus, in Revelation. He says, thou hast left thy first love. Why? What's going on? Why have you left your first love? Probably because we just somehow have gotten to the point where we forgot that He loved us. If we don't think about Him loving us, then we're not going to love Him back. Have you forgot His love? You know, Christ says, the way we ought to love God is with all our heart, with all our might, with all our soul, with everything we've got. That is how God wants us to love Him. And so when He doesn't see it, He has a complaint. And He's asking, have you forgotten that I loved you? When we remember that He loved us, He's expecting us to love Him back with all our heart and with all our soul. And you know, I think sometimes, and some of us maybe have felt this, loving God. I mean, remember a time where you might have been waking up and just with a smile on your face, praying to God, happy, not because things were a lot better, but just because you were thinking about God. You were focused on Him. You loved Him. And you would go through your day praying with Him, talking to Him like He was right there. You know, you're driving along and you're talking to Him. I mean, have you ever experienced that? He was right there. You loved Him. And then who knows what happened. And now that's not like it is anymore. Your relationship isn't the same with God anymore. And He says, you've left your first love. What happened? What happened? I loved you. I still love you. Why have you left your first love? Why don't you love me? Man, you know, I read this and I think, man, how can it be? They were saying, wherein hast thou loved us? And yet I see sometimes how I act reflects this same thought. I'm just acting like God never loved me. Because when we remember God's love for us, it should draw us, it should make us love Him. And I think our life should be a reflection of God's love toward us. I mean, God's loved us, that means we should have a life that pours out love. And I think this is what the Bible teaches. He says, first of all, well, one of the places He says, we ought to love our wife. How? The way Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. So when we think about the love that God had for us, we should love our wives. Love your wives. And I see, you know, too many times we're not loving our wives the way we should. And that's a reflection that you're not thinking about the way God loved you. Because if you think about how God loved you and gave Himself for you, you'd love your wife. Love your wife. You have no excuse to not. And He says, ye ought to love one another. How? The way I have loved you. That's how you ought to love one another. So when we remember God's love, we ought to love each other that way. Not only love each other, love, you know, our neighbor, our brethren, love even the enemy. Why? Because while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us, didn't He? He died for us. He loved us even when we were sinners. So that should constrain us and make us love even our enemies. I mean, our lives should just be full of love. And when it's not, I think it's reflecting the same attitude that the Israelites had here. Where God was saying, I have loved you. And when we're not loving our wives, and we're not loving each other, and when we're not loving even our enemies, and when we're not loving God with all our heart, we're not keeping His commandments. He's saying, have you forgotten my love? Have you forgotten that I loved you? God's confronting us today. He's confronting you today. He's saying, have I not loved you? So I can expect to be loved back. That's what He wants. Another confrontation He has is about honor. Chapter 1, verse 6 says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? You know, I can say God is my father. And you know, some people think that everybody's a child of God. I don't think so. I know what the Bible says. I can say God is my Father, and maybe you can too, because I know that through Jesus Christ, He has given me the power to become the Son of God. And I've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And I am His Son, and I can call Him my Father, and maybe you can too. Well, then He says, if I'm your Father, where is my honor? If He's your Father, you can call Him Father. Where is His honor? Doesn't He deserve honor? Is He a bad father? I mean, you know, maybe it's understandable if you're a bad father, you know, you don't deserve that much honor. But is God a bad father? No. He's been good to us. He's given us. He's taught us. He's provided for us. Everything you've got is from Him. It says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights. It's God. Everything you've got, every good thing in your life, it's because of Him. He's a good Father. And He says, then, where's my honor? I mean, I think God is, you know, confused. I'm your Father, right? Where's my honor? He deserves honor. I believe He deserves honor and recognition. You know, isn't this an honor to recognize somebody? You know, she does good. She does a good thing. Christ honors her and gives her recognition. What about our recognition of God? Maybe He's saying, why aren't you honoring me? Why aren't you recognizing me? You know, I've done great things. You know, I've done good things. Why don't you talk about that? Why don't you talk about me? Could it be that He's tired of not being recognized by us? It's amazing to think about what our conversations are about. You know, how many times were you talking about how great Duncan and the Spurs were? You know, we're talking about how great these things are and other people, and God may be saying, hey, why don't you talk about me? I'm great. I'm good. Talk about me. You know? I think that's an amazing thing. And you know, sometimes you might think, you know, it would be weird talking about God all the time. But I think He wants that. I'm amazed. You know, I think Grandpa West does that. He went with me the other day to buy some tool, and the guy I'm looking at, talking with, he just starts, hey, you know Christ? And everybody goes, you know Christ? Hey, you know Christ? He wants to talk about God. And you know, we might think, oh, that's a little weird and stuff. But no, that's what He wants probably. He wants you to be talking about Him all the time, everywhere you go. Talk about God. I mean, doesn't a father like that? My father's better than your father, you know? My dad's better than yours. Hey, we want to talk about Him. Why don't we want to talk about God? Why don't we want to recognize God? Maybe we're talking too much about our own selves. Worried about our honor. He's probably saying, you know, stop talking about yourself. It's not about you. He's saying, what about me? Amen. You know, to honor somebody, you have to humble yourself, right? That shows honor. Maybe we think, you know, like, oh, we got a college degree. We can't work as, who knows, you know, some restaurant worker or something, you know, flipping burgers. And that's how we apply it in the spiritual life. You know, oh, I know too much of the Bible. I can't come clean chairs or something. You know, maybe he's saying, hey, humble yourself a little.
Amen.
Stop wanting all the things that give you big recognition. Stop wanting to be recognized. He wants you to recognize Him.
Amen.
Humble yourself and lift Him up.
Amen.
He says, I'm a father, right? And I'm a good one. So why are you so worried about your own honor? What about mine? You know, me and Adi were at our house the other night, and we turned on the TV and saw this program about Extreme Makeover, like Home Edition or something. I was like, oh, Adi, you're going to like this. You know, they make big houses for people that are in need or something. And, well, anyway, one of the guys had two children, young children, and he was a fireman. And they built this room for these kids, a big old truck in there, and, you know, their suits and a hose and everything. And boy, they put that on and they played around and they did that. And they asked the guy, hey, how do you feel? And he says, I feel honored that they would want to be like me. Doesn't a father feel honored when his children want to be like him? Well, Christ says, hey, be ye therefore perfect. Yeah. As your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Why don't we strive to be perfect? Well, who are you trying to be like? Maybe Christ is saying, hey, who are you trying to be like? What about my honor? Why don't you desire to be like me? Maybe you're trying to be like Michael Jordan and play as good as him. And maybe you can. But who cares? Why don't you try to be like Christ? Be like God. You know, all these kids, you know, want to be, you know, do the great moves and dances. And why? Why don't you want to be like God? This would bring him honor. Desire to be like him. He says, he had a complaint. He says, this people, yeah, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, we can honor God and praise God with our lips all day, but he wants to know, where is your heart? Why don't you want to be like me? Why don't you strive to stay away from sin and to be perfect? Ah, we got all these excuses, right? Oh, we're never going to be perfect. We can't be perfect. Hey, stop thinking like that. Why don't you just strive to be like Him? Say, I don't want sin in my life. I want to be like Him. I think He would be honored by that. You giving your all to be like Him. Oh, Lord, I want to be like You. I want to stop sinning. You know, He says, let every man that nameth the name of Christ, what? Depart from iniquity.
Amen.
Oh yeah, we can go around saying, hey, I believe in Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. He's my Father. But He says, I want you then to depart from iniquity. Why don't we strive for this? To be like Christ. You know, one of the worst feelings in the world, I think, is disappointing Father. And so, here we got God, and He says, I'm your Father. And I'm a good Father. So what about my honor? So why are you interested in being like others? Why don't you strive to be like me? Why are you talking about others? Why aren't you talking about me? Why are you giving yourself honor and not worried about me? You know, I don't want to disappoint God, my Father. I want to honor Him. Well, he's confronting you. He says, you call me Father, right? I am your Father. And where's my honor? And he really doesn't understand. It's like an equation. 2 + 2 = 4. A father has a son. Son should honor him. Amen. And he's like, what's going on? Why am I not getting the honor I deserve? A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? Where is it? I want to give him his honor. He confronts us also, not only about honor, but also about fear. Second part of that verse, 6, he says, and if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. He says, okay, now if I be a master, if I be a Lord, where is my fear? I remember last mission conference, a message saying, Christ, didn't He die? And He rose and revived for a purpose? It was to be Lord. Your Lord. And so He's saying, hey, you're saved. I've become your Lord. And He says, okay, if I'm your Lord, where is my fear? Why do you not fear Him? I think about Christ when He sent off His disciples to preach. He said, don't fear man. You know, they can only kill your body. Fear God, you know. Fear Him. Why are we so worried and fearful of men? Oh, what is he going to think about me preaching? Oh, what are they going to say about me doing that? We're so worried about what they think. Maybe God's saying, hey, why don't you worry about what I think? We're worried about our lifestyle to look good, you know, to look good, to fit in. God may be saying, hey, why aren't you worried about fitting in with me? Worried about what I think. I'm your Lord, right? Where's my fear? Now, He confronts them about fear and I believe all these other things, and He shows them what they're doing. He says, I want to read verse 2:17 of Malachi. 2:17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied Him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and He delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? You see how they weren't fearing God? They were living and they were thinking, you know, obviously God takes pleasure in us doing evil. Because if He didn't, where's the God of judgment? Christians, I believe, are living like there's no judgment. And they don't fear the Lord. He's saying, hey, fear me. Why don't you take me seriously? You know, why don't you remember, I know your works. God's confronting you. He's saying, hey, I'm your Lord. Why don't you fear me? To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I mean, why don't we just hate evil? Why do we love it so much still after so many years of being saved? Shouldn't we by this point hate evil? Probably because we don't fear the Lord. We don't fear His judgment. He says, I'm your Lord, am I not? Where is my fear? They didn't fear Him. Look at what it says in chapter 1 again, verse 8. Boy. And you know, I'm reading Malachi and I don't understand them. But if I focus, it's talking about me. It's exactly what we're doing, I think. It says, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. You know, what are you offering God? What are our sacrifices for God? He says, you're offering me the blind, the lame. You know what you don't need? You're offering me the leftovers. You don't fear me. I'm your Lord. I'm your King. Why don't you fear me? He says, let's see then. Offer that to your governor. Now, if Governor Rick Perry, you know, came over to your house, will you pull out the leftovers and give that to him, you know? Oh, here you go, put it in the microwave. I don't think so, you know? I think we would show respect and, hey, I'll take you out to dinner, you know? I'll take you out to whatever restaurant you want. I don't know. He says, let's see, give this to your governor. Let's see if he's pleased with that. What are you offering God? You think he's pleased with what we're offering? The leftovers? The blind? You know, I think sacrifice offering implies hurt. You know, it's not like, oh, I got some leftover, here you go. You know, it's not going to hurt me. I think sacrifice actually means, you know, give the best you got. And how does God feel? In chapter 3 of that, verse 8, he says, will a man rob God? Yeah, ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And, you know, I think God takes it seriously. What we offer Him, what we sacrifice to Him, He takes it seriously. And He says, if you're not giving me what you should be giving me, you've robbed me. You're robbing me. God wants the best of us. God wants all of us. And you know, sometimes we give Him empty promises. Chapter 1 again, verse 14 says, but cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. You know, they had something God wanted. And they vowed, I'm going to give you the good thing. And then they sacrificed a corrupt thing. Empty promises. You know, how many mission conferences have you said, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that? Oh, yeah, Lord, this is me now. I'm going to go preach. I'm going to go whatever. You know, we get excited during the mission conference and we might say, I'm going to do a lot of things. And then we forget. We just overlook it and we don't do it. You know, God's saying, hey, you robbed me. Remember, you promised. Remember, you said you were going to do something. And you didn't do it. Why don't you fear me? I'm going to do something that's not like to God. When you say it, He's saying, okay, let's do it. After that, He says, sacrifice us unto the Lord a corrupt thing, for I am a great king. And I think this is the point. He comes to the point where he's just saying, I'm a great king.
Amen.
I'm a great father. I'm a great savior. I'm a wonderful savior. I'm a great Lord. I give you examples. I did it myself for you. He's a great Lord. He says, I'm a great king. So he says, so if I am such a great king, and if I am such a great father, I just don't understand why I'm not getting love. Why I'm not getting my deserved honor. Why are you not fearing me? God's confronting us today. He's a great King and He's a great Lord. A good Father and a wonderful Savior. And He demands for you to love Him, for you to honor Him, for you to fear Him. He wants you to turn your heart over to Him. Is it not expected of our great King? Let's give Him what He deserves.